Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
ESPN 97.5.
KFNC 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Steven Nelson retired over the weekend. Ugh, I hated seeing that. I hated seeing Steven Nelson retire. A little surprising, 31 years old, retiring from the NFL. Aaron Wilson reported that he had interest from multiple teams, apparently didn't get the number that he wanted, so he's retiring. He's calling it quits. Whatever. Like, I don't think anybody's losing sleep over Steven Nelson, free agent, retiring from the NFL. Now, who are guys, players, maybe not guys, maybe gals, that retired way earlier than you wanted? That you wanted to see them stick around. You wanted to see them keep going. Who were players that retired too soon? 713-780-3776.
I guess I'll start with, I have several, but the one that I start with all the time is Bo Jackson. Just because of the fact that due to injury, we saw Bo Jackson's football career cut way short when he was dominant and maybe the best two-sport athlete we've ever seen in our lifetimes. So because of injury, Barry Sanders is the one that doesn't have injury involved in it. Barry Sanders was unbelievable on just literal horse bleep teams for year after year, but he found a way to still put up stats and be dominant and just decided one day, I'm done. And you're like, why?
To me, you can go a couple of different routes. Like, if you're going injury route, I think we've seen a couple in Houston. J.R. Richard, don't have the stroke. Like, how dominant of a career would that have been?
Sure.
Like, were we talking about a Hall of Famer here? Many people think he would have been a Hall of Famer if he never suffers the stroke that ended his baseball career. You could go Yao Ming. You go Yao Ming with the stress fractures. One of the weirdest things is that LeBron James was drafted with the number one pick the year after Yao Ming was drafted. LeBron James was in the draft class 1 year after Yao Ming, but it feels like a generation ago Yao Ming retired, and LeBron James is still literally playing basketball. So injury-related, I would go those two. Now, you mentioned a bunch of the, like, Bo Jackson would be another injury-related one. Like, what would his career have looked like had he never gotten hurt? Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, probably up there as well.
Yeah. I know we're missing. There was someone recently or somewhat close to recently that kind of fell in and used Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders. And I can't think, but again, they were tired of taking the beating.
Yeah. Who was that white linebacker for the Panthers? I can't remember his name.
Oh, because of concussions, too.
Or like fear of them.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Brandon Roy says 5742.
That Brandon Roy's knee was, I mean, Rockets fans know how good he was.
Facts.
Keekly. That's it?
Yeah.
Luke Keekly?
I just didn't really, like, this is going to sound, very mean of me. I just didn't really care too much about Brandon Roy.
He was really good.
I know he's really good, but he also, like, killed the Rockets. So, the fact that he had to retire early, like, didn't break my heart.
I think a lot of people felt that way about Yao. Because everybody thought Yao was going to be crappy. And then, if he doesn't get hurt, they probably are at the very worst. They're in the NBA, they're in the Western Conference Finals, and there was a good shot they'd beat Denver and go to the finals.
A lot of people were saying Andrew Luck, which is a really good one. I hadn't thought about Andrew Luck. He retired super early, and then he got really skinny.
He did, yeah. And recently they've done interviews with him, and one, he was still going to school at Stanford. He was going to finish his education or get his master's, and they showed him, and he looked like a shell of himself, literally like he had lost like 75 pounds.
Yeah. Derrick Rose, now he didn't really retire
early.
He's
still playing.
He just... His career was kind of derailed early.
Sure, by a lot of injury.
Arian Foster, I mean, he stuck around, and he was already gone from the Texans. Like, I wouldn't count Arian Foster here. People say, or texting in saying T-Mac. he hung around for a long time.
Yeah, he tried to win a championship with the Spurs one year. The microfracture surgery changed and altered his career in terms of his playing style and his ability to get points, but he still hung around trying to win a championship.
Terrell Davis, I never felt that he retired too early. Like, maybe I just don't remember it as well, but I don't feel like he retired too early.
The old school answer is Gale Sayers.
Okay.
Because of, I believe because of injury, but they said before Barry Sanders, it was Gale Sayers that got in the Hall of Fame, but had a career cut. Oh, Jim Brown, too.
People are texting in Jim Brown.
Yeah, Jim Brown, because he just decided he was going to do more things that were more meaningful in the world than and act and as well than play football.
How about J.J. Watt?
I thought about
retiring
that.
Retiring too early. Yeah. Like, he had some stuff left in the tank. He had double-digit sacks in his final year. Maybe he hadn't retired all the way, though.
Because he still got some, yeah.
George St. Pierre in there, says Corey. I felt like he hung on. I'm not even – like, he fought at middleweight, I think, against Bisping. I'm not even sure he's officially retired.
He's UFC?
Yeah. I loved watching St. Pierre fight. He was one of my favorite fighters. Like, OG, St. Pierre, Anderson Silva, and then I kind of – you know, matured into John Jones. Kendrick Perkins says 6167. You know, that's right. I've been champing at the bit to see more Kendrick Perkins in the NBA. I
saw him in the batting cages last weekend. It wasn't pretty.
It wasn't awful, though.
Oh,
I didn't think it was awful. Like, I've seen way worse. Will Anderson was worse than that.
Was he?
Yeah.
Because I thought Kendrick Perkins was like, I don't know if he would have actually hit a wiffle ball.
6005, I wish Bird could have played another few years. He got his career derailed with the back, for sure. Well,
the other one is that came to my mind is Magic.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he came out of retirement.
For half a season?
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about his career if he doesn't have to be. In his speech, I'm forced to retire. If he doesn't retire, I mean, what kind of career is he have?
Robert Smith's a good one. He retired and went into whatever his religion
Medicine.
Was.
Oh, well, he also I think was pre-med and was it like a 4.0 student.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he went into, I don't know what his religion was, but he retired and went into whatever.
He did games. He was an analyst for several years for like CBS.
I think he's on ESPN now. 6940, Chris Bosh. He had to retire because of the heart condition.
Oh, that's right. He still had a really good career.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. O.J. Simpson would be a good answer before his extracurriculars. Did he retire early?
I don't remember that. I don't know.
Sandy Koufax. I think Sandy's was because of elbow.
But that's another big one that people say shoulder. If he finished his career, he still had lots of good years left.
Ricky Williams. Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell screwed himself.
Completely, in a multitude of ways. In the locker room and with all of that and enforcing the trade and then couldn't keep his mouth shut. And
this is a good answer. 3227. Dusty Baker. He would save us from Joe Espada. Huh. Dusty Baker retiring too soon. It's not a bad answer. I like the
right now. Right now, it's not a bad answer.
That's some creative thinking.
Yeah.
Some really creative thinking.
Because Luno didn't retire.
Matt Schaub.
He hung on forever.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like some people are answering this by careers derailed by injury.
Okay.
But didn't really retire.
Schaub played for the Falcons up until a couple of years ago.
And then like people were saying T-Mac. Like T-Mac didn't retire early. He had his career derailed by injury. People were saying Derrick Rose. He didn't retire early. He had his career derailed by injury. Tony Romo, miss me some Romo. That was an interesting offseason. Because remember Romo, they were talking about trading him to the Texans.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden he plays like one more year. They draft Dak and he retires. And I think injuries were related there. Maybe back.
Or neck or something like that.
Yeah, but like he did retire pretty early. Gronk's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Someone could say Manning, Peyton, because of his neck. But
he was kind of old, though.
The neck was washed.
Were you thinking Aaron Donald earlier?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe he made the reference to either Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson.
Fred Warner says some people. Aaron Donald definitely is a good call. So people are saying Vander Esch. Vander Esch was the neck. That stunk.
Fred Warner.
For the 49ers?
Fred Warner, the middle linebacker, still playing, isn't he?
I thought he was.
Yeah, I thought he was.
Maybe they're confusing him for somebody else. Sterling Sharp.
Oh, it's a great call.
How old was he? He was like 33.
He was in the prime of his career, and the neck injury forced him to quit early, and he was headed for the Hall of Fame.
Drew Bledsoe. He got Brady'd. Yep. Rocky Marciano. He was undefeated. Loosely based
Boxer.
On the Rocky Balboa. Antonio Brown retired too early. How he retired was really good, too. This is a good answer from 3248. Not going to be a popular answer, but a good one. Khabib, the UFC fighter who was undefeated, who if they brought him, like if he came out of retirement right now, he'd be a huge draw. But he has conviction. Oh, Patrick Willis. He meant Patrick Willis.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. He meant Patrick Willis.
Because I thought of the other guy, the kid that played linebacker at Wisconsin that played 1 year and then was afraid of CTEs and quit.
Yeah. Antonio Brown cracks me up. Pittsburgh. Oh, he's thinking Ryan Shazier. He had to retire due to the spinal injury. Yeah. Larry Johnson. Somebody said Jamal Charles. This guy says Sean Taylor. That's
not nice.
I think that's a little callous. I think it's a little callous.
What's the other one? Derek Thomas.
Yeah, that's probably more callous. 6790 says Lance McCullers.
We ain't there yet, but.
That's pretty funny. I think I would go with Yao Ming.
That's a good call.
I would go with Yao Ming. I loved Yao Ming. Yao Ming was my favorite player whenever he retired.
Yeah, I think for me it's Barry Sanders. Just because, I mean, seeing him twice a year and seeing just how elusive that guy was. Like when you, I mean, I know people have had nicknames before, like the human pinball and the joystick and all those things. That dude was just almost untackleable when he wanted to be.
Michael Sam says this texture. Oh. Royce White says 8074. Royce White just annoyed me.
I can't, from personal experience, I can tell you just how confusing that man was.
Really?
Like riding up in the elevator with him one day in the Toyota Center and having just a legit solid conversation about basketball and other things. And then the other day, him just going completely off the deep, the next day, off the deep end and dipping guys in the grease and going, and you're like, where did that come from?
Yeah. 75 says Michael Jordan's baseball career. I would have loved to see the rest of Michael Jordan's baseball career. I would have loved if he never went back into basketball, just to see what it would look like.
I don't think it would have been very good.
I think he would have made the bigs.
He might have made the bigs. I don't think it would have been like, I just think he maybe would be like a platoon type player. Yeah. I think he'd be better than Tebow, but I don't think he would have been what some people were thinking. Like if he played baseball his whole career, like he'd be an all-star.
No, I don't think he'd be an all-star. I think he would have made it to the bigs though. And I think that's a win. Like people mock him for hitting 225 and AAA or whatever. Think about not playing baseball for when he played it in high school, I think. Like, mm-hmm. So that's what, how many years was that? 15, 20 years, not playing baseball at all. And then all of a sudden he plays professionally in his first year in AAA. Hits 215, whatever it was, 225. Terry Francona talked about how great he was in that winter ball that year and said he would have made a roster in a year or two.
Yeah, he literally, if you think about 10-year span from 3 years at Carolina and then they didn't make the playoffs for the first couple of years and they won three titles. And then to pick it up, he was better than Tebow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he would have, I don't think he would have had a great career. It would have just been fun to see how it would have played out. Tim Tebow, 1656, eh. Someone, Keith from LA said, don't forget about Paul Gallant. Paul didn't retire. Did I miss something?
As a safety?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe his football career.
It might have been as a safety.
Maybe it's Brent Strom.
He didn't retire.
Brent Strom, that's an interesting one. Now, he did retire, though. He retired for a minute, like Daryl Morey retired for a minute.
Oh, yeah. To get the offer from Arizona?
Yeah, he retired for a little bit. I'm going to retire and blah, 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 blah. And then later that offseason, he signs with Arizona. 713-780-ESPN. Quarterbacks in the NFL. We're starting to see people rank their QBs around the league. Where did these people go wrong? 713-780-ESPN at the B's on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Dre just landed on Bad Take Boulevard.
Doctor?
He said that Bo Jackson would, if he didn't get hurt, he would have led the NFL in career rushing.
Oh, stop.
I didn't realize that he his last year was when he was 28. So, I mean, he got through 28. I think that was the year he got hurt. He never had a 1,000-yard rushing season. And his career rushing total was 2,800, a little under 2,800 yards. Now, football was secondary to him. He played baseball first because I forget who the team was that had the number one pick.
And Tampa.
Was it Tampa? Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't want to play for Tampa. I'm not going to play football. I'm going to play, baseball.
Yep.
And then the Raiders drafted him, like, in the fourth round or whatever. And he's like, well, I'm still going to be primarily baseball, hold to my promise.
And he didn't do it right away, did he? Didn't he wait a couple years before?
Yeah, his first year was the age of 25, so.
Yeah.
And a few years.
Yep, he did.
Waited a few. He only played 4 years in the NFL.
Because the Bucs were threatening to draft him anyway.
He probably had to wait out the length of time that they had. Well, no, because Tampa Bay didn't draft him. The Raiders drafted him, so he wasn't waiting.
Well, yeah, the only way that would have happened, yeah, if they drafted him and let him sit, and then after a certain amount of time, then whatever they call it, statute of limitations for contracts but or draft rights, that would expire.
Right, but he wasn't drafted by Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe he was drafted by Tampa Bay. 713, no, they did select him. They did draft him. So
they
that's what he was
anyway?
They drafted him the first overall pick in 1986, so that's why he waited. That's why he waited. I thought, for some reason, I thought that they didn't draft him. Raiders drafted him late, yeah, and he held true to his word. But no, I'm wrong. He was still drafted with the number one pick in the 1986 draft, and then he held out until the Buccaneers forfeited his rights. And then the following year, he was selected in the seventh round by the Raiders.
It's a hell of a pick.
And then I guess for whatever reason didn't go to the NFL until 1987. Yeah, that's crazy. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Buster Olney has been hacked on Twitter.
Oh, really?
He's he's sending out random trades. He says the season is canceled due to COVID. Baltimore Orioles are relocated to Las Vegas, and the Oakland A's will stay in Oakland. Shohei Ohtani was banned for life from the Major League Baseball. The Mets are finalizing a deal to trade Francisco Lindor to the A's. The Phillies and the White Sox are finalizing a deal that will send star outfielder Luis Robert to Philadelphia. He's been hacked.
That one might have some legs, though.
Man.
The last one. They're trying to shop Luis Robert.
Buster only tweeted an hour ago, "Sorry, I got hacked." And then all of these tweets have come out from Buster. Poor Buster only.
That sucks.
Yeah, that one's not very good. All right. Pardon My Take came out with their quarterback rankings for this upcoming year. Let's start from one and just see if anything stands out that you don't like. C.J. Stroud, we'll start with Stroud because he's the guy. He disagrees with DJ Bieniemy. He has C.J. Stroud as a top five quarterback. Mm-hmm. So he has Stroud at number five. Number one, Pat Mahomes. I'm cool with that.
No brainer.
Number two, Josh Allen.
Still.
Number two, Josh Allen.
I'm not cool with that.
I think this is awful. I mean, you know how I feel about Josh Allen. I'm anti-Josh Allen. Josh Allen wouldn't be in my top five. They have him at number two. How is he number two?
He shouldn't be number two. He should be on the back end of top five if you're a Josh Allen fan. Let's just leave it there.
I think it's criminal that he's ahead of Lamar Jackson, because you could say, well, you know, Josh Allen puts up these huge regular season numbers, but he hasn't had the postseason success. Lamar Jackson, huge regular season numbers, has not had the postseason success. But how could you have Allen ahead of Lamar Jackson? They both have been failures in the postseason. Lamar Jackson has two MVPs. And he's been better than Josh Allen.
Yeah, and he's had the number one seed. And, yeah, again, playoffs is a different story. But, yeah, Lamar Jackson, to me, is above Josh Allen, no matter what you think of Joe Burrow and C.J. Stroud and all these other quarterbacks. Yeah, I don't see Josh Allen as number two.
Yeah, that's high for me. I don't think Allen belongs ahead of Lamar Jackson. It's criminal to me he's ahead of Lamar Jackson. I can understand people having Allen, you know, fantasy quarterback rankings, top three, top five. To be ahead of Lamar Jackson, to me, is insane.
Now, he did win at least the one playoff game pretty much solely on his legs and running in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has, against Mahomes, held his own. But, yeah, the playoffs is a different story.
So they have Lamar at number three. I think it's too low. I probably have Lamar. Now, I can listen to the postseason failures. I can listen to the, well, he struggled in the playoffs. I don't trust him in the playoffs. I can listen to that, and I can listen to Lamar not being in your top two, but I can't listen to him being behind Josh Allen.
The reason I agree with that, but the reason why I think he's number two is, even if you think that there are other guys that might be better than Lamar Jackson, those guys are probably Josh Allen, who we're talking about, has lost receivers and seems to have regressed a little bit, and Joe Burrow, who's been hurt. So if you don't believe CJ has to prove it by being in the league longer, that's one thing. But if you don't think Lamar Jackson is above Josh Allen and Joe Burrow because of what they didn't do a year ago and what he did, I don't understand the logic there. I think Lamar's number two.
Lamar and Allen are a little overrated. I think Burrow's ahead of them. 8755. Burrow's at four. Now, it depends on how you're constructing it. Are you constructing it based on 23?
Right.
Or are you constructing it based on who they're going to be in 2024? It's hard for me not to have Burrow ahead of both of them because of the postseason success. Now, I do have questions about his wrist. Like, maybe, you know, if he's not at 100%, margin for error is so thin that you could easily bump him down.
He himself has said it, and others that have talked about the injury that have had it that aren't quarterbacks have said it's an easier injury to recover from and get back close to normal if you're not a quarterback. As a quarterback, it's a totally different animal, and he himself has said he expects and has had issues with it because it may be 100% healthy in terms of the procedure that was done, but how it affects his touch, feel, and throwing ability is going to be a factor.
Yeah, maybe they're overstating it, but we won't know until we see it. They have Stroud at number five, King of Twitch on the Twitch, who's a very anti-CJ Stroud. He doesn't like CJ Stroud.
Why is that?
I think because he's very anti-life.
Is he anti-Texan?
I think he's a miserable
too?
Human being. Yeah, he doesn't have a job, so I can kind of understand it. But he says, yeah, if CJ is top five, that means the NFL is in bad shape. Well, this does have CJ Stroud at number five. But if you go like further down, who belongs ahead of CJ Stroud? Jared Goff's at number six. Is he ahead of Stroud?
Nope.
I like Goff's game. I wouldn't have him ahead of Stroud. Jordan Love, your favorite quarterback in the NFL.
Nope.
Would you have him? He's at seven. I wouldn't have him ahead of Stroud. Brock Purdy's at eight. You ahead of Stroud?
No, Brock Purdy's not ahead of Stroud.
You grimaced whenever I said Purdy at eight.
Because I don't know if the Brock Purdy should be at eight.
I think Purdy's underrated, but can he be a product of the system at the
right.
same time? Yes.
He's got so many weapons around him that, look, he should be rewarded as being, look, a game manager that manages it better than most.
A what manager?
A game manager.
Oh, okay.
But being a game manager that does it really well doesn't tell me that he has the same ability with the situation. I think the guys we're talking about, you take him on, put him on any team, they're going to have the same kind of success. You take Brock Purdy and put him on a lesser than team than the Niners, I don't know that he has the same success.
Yeah, but you have to play the golf course. You know what I mean? Like, he does have that, though.
Yeah.
This isn't like a quarterback draft where, like, everything is the same. Like, he does have those
weapons.
Yeah, he has those weapons. You have to play the course that you're given. So, I understand both sides of it. I have no problem Purdy in the top 10.
But for me, I would put Jalen Hurts above Brock Purdy because even with weapons, Jalen Hurts is a better overall quarterback, in my opinion.
I would agree, although he wasn't great last year. Was that injury? Was it Steichen leaving? There's a lot of questions going into this year. They have Herbert at 9, Hurts at 10. Herbert's taking a fall because, well, one, he's never won a playoff game. And then secondly, many people are expecting the offense of Harbaugh to be very like run-oriented, where Herbert's not going to put up these elite numbers.
Yeah, you have to replace and replenish the receivers you lost, too. What, you know, Williams was always hurt, but Williams was a burner, and Keenan Allen was a stud, and, you know, and they lost Eckler too, who out of the backfield was able to be a safety valve for him. In order for Herbert to be successful, they got to replenish those guys too and prove that they've got guys that can at least do a lot of those things well.
Yeah, they drafted Ladd from Georgia.
But the kid from TCU's got horrible hands, Johnston.
Yeah, I mean, their GM was talking them up, but, I mean, we know what GM's talking players up sounds like, so you can't put a whole lot of stock in that. A lot of times. It depends on the guy. Like, is a boy crying wolf, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 8775, where's Stafford and Rodgers? He has Stafford at 13, which feels low, but he's been banged up, hurt, and then Rodgers at number 11. I feel like that's fine.
I think Rodgers, until he shows what he's going to be post-Achilles, is fine. I think that of the two, I think Rodgers has the desire and plenty left, and I think Stafford's leaning towards retirement closer every day.
He's talking about extension.
I can't believe that, because a year ago, no matter who he had with Puka and everybody else, he was. I thought he had one foot out the door.
Maybe he just wants one more payday. 2568 on both products of the system. I think I take Purdy over Goff. It's probably because you take 49ers over Lions, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I'm not a big Jared Goff fan, but I think Jared Goff has proven more and has more success at the NFL level than Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I think Goff is underrated, but I would agree with what you said.
So I think he was overrated early, and I think he's now actually underrated now. Because I
thought at what point was he overrated?
When he came in the draft, highly drafted in the league, and he was supposed to be all these things that, whether McVay helped him or not, I felt like he got that $100 million plus deal too quick. But now I think with the Lions, I think he gets undersold. That's how good he's been for them.
Yeah, I would say right around that first contract. Mm-hmm. Probably overpaid, slightly overrated. And then they traded him in a first rounder for Stafford, and I think he's been better than that. But I would take the Niners over the Lions too, which I think is the question. Honey Glaze Branham, I heard what you said, Branham. I mean, it is June. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Is he a Giant, or is he a...
Andre, one of the few guys that was able to body slam Andre the Giant.
That's pretty good. I don't know if there's that many of them. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Is he a Giant, or is he a guy who body slammed Andre the Giant? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Vanderford Air. Look, we know what's going on right now. It's getting hotter and hotter, and the 100-degree days are right around the corner. And the last thing you want to do is just roll the dice and take a chance. Hey, my AC unit and my HVAC is going to be just fine, and then have it crap the bed. You want someone that is going to be there every step of the way with guarantees in their back pocket for you so that they take care of you and you're never left holding the bag of having bad work and bad AC work done and not having the guarantees that your AC is actually going to work. That's why I recommend Vanderford Air. You can go to VanderfordAir.com right now and see all the things. They do plumbing. They do repiping. They do your hot water heaters and all your heating and air conditioning and HVAC. But the thing I'm going to tell you about, because it's so pertinent right now, is that AC HVAC repair and or replacement, because it's part of their 100% money back guarantee. This is why I love them being a sponsor and me being able to speak for them, because they give you what you want when you're looking for a company to do work. 100% money back guarantee if you don't get the best value at the lowest cost to you. If you don't get a comfort assurance guarantee that the temperature works exactly how they said it's going to work and how you expect it to, a quality workmanship guarantee that their people are going to do the work and make it work the right way, right away for you, and the performance guarantee that everything operates at factory standards, or 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. How do you go wrong with that? Whether it's a repair or a full-blown replacement of a system, that's what you want. You want a company that gives you those guarantees. Oh, and there's one more. As hot as it is and as hot as it's going to be, if you call them and you need them, they are going to guarantee they will be at your door within 24 hours of you making contact with them. Other companies, yeah, we'll see you next week. Yeah, we'll see if we can work you in after a couple days. We're slammed right now. Everybody's got AC problems. Not with Vanderford. Vanderford is loyal to Houstonians. That's why I encourage you right now to lock this number in your phone. Whether you need it now, maybe you want a system check before it gets too hot, or you're going to need it down the road and you need a company you can trust. 281-557-COOL is going to be all you need to know. 281-557-COOL gets you in touch with Vanderford Air, and they're going to guarantee that they take care of you every step of the way.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Forgot that Jameis Winston was on the Cleveland Browns.
I had that epiphany a few weeks back. I was reading an article, and he was one of the names of if I told you and what you missed in this NFL offseason, and he was one of the top names.
Yeah, I just it popped up on my timeline for some reason. We're going to be at East River 9 on Friday. No Brian all week. He is he's lazy bones, doesn't want to work. I never take days off.
Or he just doesn't work with us.
We will we'll do why is Brian off this entire week. Wrong answers only later. We got sidetracked and did radio stuff that we're paid to do. Not very much, though. 713-780-ESPN. So is he a giant, or is he one of the few men who body slammed Andre the Giant? Blinker's turn. A-Rod, who's filling in for Brian, he's going to play along. I'll go first because I'm talent, Austin. All right, what you got here, Joel?
So I just want to remind people, Andre the Giant, at his heaviest, and 7'4", 520 pounds, he won 90% of his matches over a 28-year career.
I mean, I wonder why he won those matches. It because he was big, or was it because he was predetermined?
I think that there's... Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but he won 90% of his matches, and a lot of times they were 2-on-1.
You know who else won 90% of his matches? John Cena.
Okay, well, Andre the Giant,
Rey Mysterio.
They were doing 2-on-1. They were doing tag teams or 2-on-1.
So was it still predetermined or not?
What do you mean?
He's a wrestler.
Well, yeah, but you don't know when and where. I don't know.
I've heard some fun that. Andre. Have you seen Andre the Giant hold the can?
No.
He would hold a 12-ounce can, and it'd be like, it looked like a little toy. He was a massive human being.
Wasn't he in that, Forget Paris, that Billy Crystal movie?
I don't remember.
Billy Crystal was a referee or something?
It sounds right.
Yeah, I think
I think he had some cameos in movies,
All right, first name, San Francisco Giant, or someone that body slammed Andre the Giant, Ricky Choshu.
I've never heard of this name, so I'm going to go San Francisco Giant. Hey, Ron?
Austin?
I'll go body slammed Andre the Giant.
Ricky Choshu. Innovator popularizing moves such as the Scorpion Deathlock that would go on to be used by North American stars like Bret Hart and Sting. He is known for one of the coolest looking slams ever of Andre the Giant, and there's video to back it up.
What's his name?
His name is Ricky Choshu.
Spell the last one.
C-H-O-S-H-U.
C-H-O. That's probably enough. All right. I'm going to look this up. I've never heard of this guy.
Yep.
That's amazing.
All right.
All right. A-Rod's up.
A-Rod, you're up. Austin Slater.
You're up, A-Rod.
Giant. San Francisco Giant.
Yeah, I think he's an outfielder for the Giants.
He's a utility guy for the San Francisco Giants.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Austin, 2-1.
You're still up one. All right. Next one. Jeremy, you're up, right?
Yeah.
Stan Hansen.
That's tough. I'm going to say that Stan Hansen body slammed Andre the Giant.
He did.
Well, he's got to go.
I gave it up. Hey. Sorry, Austin. I blew that.
Half
I
point. Hey.
That's fine. I'm in kangaroo court.
Yeah, I need to
it's
be
It's a fine in
that.
Kangaroo court.
Austin, what were
unreal.
You gonna say? It doesn't matter. Stan Hansen, 6'4", 321 pounds. He is slam of Andre occurred in the midst of a match in Japan in a bloody fight series.
Okay,
my bad. So,
for the record, I was going to go San Francisco Giant anyway, so I've gotten it wrong.
Great, we've been
he's
tied.
Honest, then you're tied. That's
all
fine.
Right. I'll take it.
Yeah,
take it. I'll take it. I'll take it. Okay. Thank you for your honesty, A-Rod. That's admirable.
Let's see.
Never trusted a man with a mustache more than I trust
Bobby
A-Rod.
Duncan.
Bobby who?
Bobby Duncan.
Okay. It's your turn, A-Rod.
I'll go body slammed under the Giant.
Yeah, me too.
He did. He did it as a tag team with Ken Patera.
Patera
told the two-man power trip of wrestling podcast he actually slammed Andre the Giant 7, 8, or 9 times, but there was no proof or evidence. But in a match in 1982, part of the AWA, Duncan slammed Andre.
Okay.
All right. Eric Miller.
It's my turn. I'm going to go with him being a San Francisco Giant.
Austin?
I'll go San Francisco Giant as well.
You guys are correct. Right-handed pitcher, relief pitcher.
All right, so we're tied at 4. How many more do we have here?
I got a couple more.
All right, 2 more?
I can give you 2 more. Yeah. Right. Patrick Bailey.
San Francisco Giant?
Yeah, that sounds like a professional baseball player. I'm going to go player.
He is a catcher. Okay, for the Giants. All right, now. Last one. James Harris.
I'm going to go body slammed onto their Giant with James Harris.
And I'll go San Francisco Giant.
James Harris. This was the tricky one. Is the real name of wrestler Kamala.
Yeah.
The Ugandan Giant.
Yeah.
Kamala's slam of Andre occurred at the co-promoted house show between Paul Bosch of Houston's Promotions and Cowboy Bill Watts Mid-South Wrestling in Shreveport, Louisiana in 1983 on February the 12th.
That's you used his real name. Uh-huh. That's kind of like I don't know.
I needed one kind of kicker if there was a tie or a close one for that very reason.
I don't know. Like, that's kind of brilliant. Like, you can't say Kamala. Like,
right.
You would have known.
Well, because Hulk Hogan was one of them. You couldn't say that. There was.
No.
There was like, I think there's 10 or 12 total.
What's his real name? Terry Hogan or Terry?
I think that's right.
I'm not even sure Hogan's his last name.
No, I don't think it is.
It's like about, it's right on the tip of my tongue. It starts with a B. I think it's like Italian.
Yeah, there was a couple where I couldn't, because you know.
Balea or whatever.
They either went by one name.
Yeah.
Or, and I'm like, I can't use those because it would give it away. So, and then I saw this and I was like, hey, wait a minute. Here's the kicker.
My favorite thing is that you stated his win percentage like it mattered.
Look, some people don't even know Andre the Giant.
What do you mean? Everybody knows who Andre the Giant is.
Okay. I don't know that everybody follows wrestling like that or know how dominant. You know his name. You don't know how dominant he was.
It's fake.
But then we also don't know. But how long has it been fake? People don't know.
What do you mean?
Oh, believe me. Back home in Wisconsin, the old AWA, no one believed those things were fake. Ever.
Well, I mean, that was back in the day. That was like in the 40s.
See, I knew you were going to get that. I thought you were going to tell me.
When did they start? Like, I mean, they stopped acting like it was real, like in what, the early 90s maybe? Mid-90s?
Yeah.
I think everybody knows that by now.
I also had Paul Vachon.
I don't know who that is.
Paul Vachon also is a wrestler who body slammed him in Chicago in 1972.
What's his wrestler name?
During a 2-on-1. No, he went by Paul Vachon, but his brother was Mad Dog Vachon.
Okay, I've never heard of him.
Mad Dog Vachon was a pretty good
What was
big
his
wrestler.
Win percentage?
That I
yeah, that's my favorite part. Joey Loperfido's back with the Astros. You know, how much does he play? Should he play? Do you think he should see some regular playing time? And, like, what's the path to him getting some regular playing time here?
I really believe he should play more. We saw nothing to believe that he shouldn't play more. Chaz has been scuffling, though he found it a little bit this weekend, got a few knocks. But to me,
playing good defense.
Yeah, I firmly believe Joey Loperfido, and especially if he's been getting reps at first base too, there's no reason not to find a spot for him at least periodically to play, and maybe more so than that, depending on what you believe in John Singleton, Chaz McCormick, and others.
Rome had a piece today, and it Joe Espada had a quote in it. He said there are more opportunities for him to get more everyday at bats with the position we're in now. Hmm. How? Like when he was up here, Jose Abreu was not on the team. He was in West Palm Beach. Chaz McCormick was on the injured list. So how is there more opportunity for him to play more now than previously in his first stint?
I can tell you.
How?
Because the Crane gang finally came to the realization that they got to press the panic button a little bit and put their best team and lineup on the field every night instead of doing the crap that they want to do.
You're probably right. It just makes no sense. Chaz wasn't here. Jose Abreu wasn't here. And now there's more opportunity for Loper. He didn't play for a week before he got sent down. I think a lot of it was calculated, so it didn't make Jose Abreu's arrival back with the Astros look bad. But I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it because Joe Espada says some things sometimes. Like he was talking about outfield production and like, hey, like production matters. Like these guys need to earn their way in the lineup. And I'm sitting there reading this quote like Ryan Pressly in the eighth, Jose Abreu at first. Like how are you saying these things through your teeth when there are literal examples of you not doing that?
Right. I mean, even back before he got hot, Alex Bregman. No, we weren't touching Alex Bregman. We moved him down the lineup. We weren't touching him. You need production all over the place. Chaz hasn't produced for the majority of the year. You knew Loperfido. I think this is literally the reality check of a realization of the Crane gang that said, you know what? We ain't running away with this thing, and no matter how much we want to force feed Abreu and we want to force feed guys that we believe can play the game, we need to win every game right now to try and get back in the playoff picture and the division and get over 500.
Alex says Crane told Espada, read this for the media. I could see that, or maybe more Bagwell. Astros are facing a lefty today. Now, Harrison is his name. He's not faced the Astros at all. Kyle Harrison, he has normal, like his pretty even splits. Like lefties and righties are pretty equal with him this year, but over the course of his career, he actually has reverse splits. So, like, could we see the rare lefty against lefty, Kyle Harrison, because his career splits are reverse? We'll see. No lineup yet today. They play a late game out in the Bay, San Francisco. I wonder if it gets colder still. 8:45.
Oh, yeah, 8:45 I'll take as opposed to like a 9:30 start.
I agree. It still gets a little chilly out in the Bay this time of year?
Oh, yeah.
I've only driven through San Francisco.
Oh, man, that park's beautiful, no matter what you call it.
I've heard it's gorgeous.
So gorgeous and on the water, but...
You ever been to the Dwarf down there? Fisherman's Dwarf?
I have not.
They say good things.
Yeah, I have not. San Francisco is a very expensive town and a very congested town.
Cash or trash. I've been told this. It's not my own tag. That San Francisco is the closest to a European town in the USA.
I don't know why they'd say that.
I don't know either. Yeah, it's not my take.
It's very congested. It's extremely expensive, but it is pretty. I mean, it's on the water and with the bridges, and I still want to do the Alcatraz thing too, but I mean...
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Everything there, it's so different because Oakland is just so night and day different from Frisco. But that park, they ain't lying. Like, we went to the game, and everybody was saying, before you go to the game, you better find some place or something. You better bring a blanket, a ski hat, sweatshirt, something. And luckily, we hit up like an Old Navy on the way to the park and grabbed a hoodie and a ski cap. Woo, baby, when that breeze starts coming off the water, it drops in a hurry.
I hear the homeless rate there is high.
It's Matt Charles talks about it all the time on the air.
I think that's where all our Twitchers are from.
He crushed it.
Did he? 713-780-ESPN. What is your car wreck of the day? Car wreck of the day up next. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. B's on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. As you know by now, Texas Star Grill Shop, best grills at the best price. And as you also know by now, Father's Day's coming up. So what are the fine people at Texas Star Grill Shop putting together? The Father's Day Mega Sale. Huge sales on all top grill brands. Free delivery in Greater Houston. Listen to these savings. You can save up to $500 on Traeger grills, $800 on Blaze, $900 on Weber grills, $300 on Gosney pizza ovens, $200 off Napoleons, and huge package deals on the Big Green Egg. Texas Star Grill Shop offers free design services for outdoor kitchens, too. We provide all the components you need from top-of-the-line grills, sleek cabinetry, to outdoor refrigerators, side burners, sink stations, bar centers. It's amazing. It's like you take your literal kitchen and you place it outside. It is awesome. The Gosney pizza oven's hot right now at the Texas Star Grill Grill Shop. Are you ready to excite your outdoor cooking experience? Imagine crafting restaurant-quality pizza, succulent steaks, and perfectly roasted vegetables right in your backyard. Gosney pizza ovens are built to commercial specs and can use gas, wood, or charcoal, reaching temperatures up to 950 degrees with a thick stone floor for optimal cooking. Make a pizza for your family. They will love it. This Father's Day, treat dad to something special. I hope the wife is listening. Or if you're a dad, treat yourself because you deserve it. Enjoy free delivery with the Father's Day sale, which ends June 30th. Visit TexasStarGrillShop.com. Also, new product, Texas Star Post Oak Cooking Wood, only $4.99 per bag this weekend only, and a huge truckload sale on Franklin Barbecue Pits where you can save up to $1,000. They have a special partnership with Aaron Franklin. That's how they get these incredible deals. Sale ends June 30th, but get yours now before they're gone. Visit TexasStarGrillShop.com or 975grills.com for the best barbecue grills at the best price.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
This is Spencer Eric Geddy's music. First game of the three-game set between the Astros and the Giants. What do you expect? What's Eric Geddy get you tonight?
6-3.
Down. I'm down. There is some news from the Astros, and it might be bad news, depending on which way you go with it. Ari Alexander tied in with the minor league baseball.
Yes, he is.
Cesar Salazar is being recalled by the Astros and will join the major league team in San Francisco. So for one, who for whom?
Caesar Salad is a utility
catcher. He's a catcher.
Specifically only a catcher?
I don't think he plays anywhere else. Maybe he's had like a couple of rogue appearances at like second, but he's a catcher.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's a problem.
You
nailed it, so you tell him.
I think it's for Yiner. Mm-hmm. I think it's for Yiner. Yesterday. Foul tip assumes that you caught it. The ball that was tipped foul off of Yiner's index finger.
I think you're right.
Hopefully it's not broken, but why else are you calling up Salazar? Like, the lineup's out today, too. Altuve, Bregman, Yordan DHs, Pena, Myers, Dubon, and left. Abreu, Chaz, Caratini. No Yiner.
If he's not in the lineup, then it's exactly what it is.
I think it's for Yiner.
And that sucks, because that's exactly what Bregman's in the lineup?
Yeah, he's batting second.
Well, that's at least good that he's back after, you would think. I thought he was going to be out for maybe one or two of these games in San Francisco, so at least he's there. But you
saw Dubon play third, and like, even if you go over, yeah, like just play a little bit of defense.
Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah, it's
got to be Yiner.
It's Yiner, and you hope it's nothing more than a game or two.
If it's at least ten.
If they made a roster, that's not good.
Hopefully, it's not broken.
That's right.
Like, they talked about Alex Bregman's X-rays, and they said that, and they were negative. I didn't hear him say that about Yiner. I might have missed it, but I didn't hear him say that. This is not good.
No, and Joey Lopevito's going to get maybe more time.
Yeah, people are saying Yiner IL. I haven't seen it reported, but okay. All right, that's not good news.
That sucks, man.
He's getting hot, too. He's getting hot. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick! Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, what are you nominating for car wreck of the day?
Gee, Ryan Pressly? Anybody? I mean, there was a comedy of errors, and you mentioned another one. Mauricio Dubon's glove could be thrown in there, too, with the two errors, but we always start with the Astros, and that was not good yesterday, starting with Ryan Pressly.
Yeah, he was pretty high up on my list, too. He definitely belongs on the list. Good nomination there. I'm going to nominate the people thinking that Jose Altuve was flipping off Jose Abreu.
I heard that. I heard the G's talking about it.
They didn't flip anybody off.
Oh, now, Paul was adamant.
You can. I see where people are confused here, but if you zoom into the picture, you see his index finger is the finger that is elevated, and the rest of his finger. You can see
it,
if you zoom in, it is definitely his index finger. You can see the middle finger behind the index finger that is, you know, fisted up.
I got to check it out because I have not.
He wasn't, and it's Jose Altuve. He's modest to take off his shirt.
Yeah, that's the one thing that you would think of anybody that's not going to do it. It's probably him.
Yeah, Yeah, I think that was foolish of all of these people. Yeah, I can't remember where I saw it, but I zoomed in really, really tight, and you can just tell that it's the forefinger next to the thumb that is elevated. Yeah, okay. He wasn't flipping anybody off. You think Jose Altuve would do that? Come on.
Yeah, of all the guys, no matter what.
Jose Altuve I would
never. But I heard Paul and Joe talking about it, and they seemed pretty adamant that it was the middle finger, and it's like,
no.
Yeah, you do it with your buddies all the time, so Altuve did it.
Joe thinks that McDaniel was lighting up. Well,
that's right. He was vaping.
Yeah, he thinks he was vaping on an NFL sideline. Like, you trust in that?
No,
it's his index finger. Jose Altuve's not going to do that. All these beat writers don't have any news on Yiner. This is all speculation at this point, but yeah. All right, anything else? I got one more. I got Dubon's defensive ability.
I put that one there.
At third base.
Where are you on Team USA not selecting Caitlin Clark?
I got takes.
Okay.
I have takes.
I mean, Glenn Davis is coming up. He likes the Caitlin Clark angle.
I don't think they made the wrong decision. Like, they're going to have no problem winning the gold unless there's issues, right?
Right.
Unless problems come up. Eliminate a potential problem before it becomes a problem. You're going to cruise to a gold medal.
I think, on the flip side, if you added Christian Laettner to the Dream Team because he had a great college career, I add Caitlin Clark to the USA team because of that and more. Because of the attention, the marketing, and because she was the best college player last year.
I like when they have a college player on those national teams. Like, the Dream Team had Christian Laettner on it.
That's what I said,
whenever he was at Duke. Oh, yeah, my bad. That I would have liked to see her on it, but I totally understand why she's not. Who's the coach, by the way?
That I don't know, but I heard she texted her coach something about waking up the bear or something like that. I don't need all that. I just need you to say I'm disappointed I didn't get selected to the team.
Cheryl Reeve. Well, I mean, why is her coach publicly saying that, though?
Yeah, that's the other thing I wondered. If it was her college coach who just retired, there's no sense in even making sure that the public's aware of that.
Like, I'm okay with that text, but that text should remain
right,
private.
Because now it's going to be a topic, and she's going to take heat for it, and everybody's going to... Yeah, I don't think anybody should have known about that.
No, I don't know. I blame her coach. I blame her coach, which that team doesn't seem very well coached. By the way, me not watching a single second of actual game footage, but having like nobody to defend her, like to back her up whenever she's getting into these, you know, fights. I don't know if that's a well-coached team. I know nothing about them. I'm having these hot takes. I have no clue.
I don't disagree with you, just simply because Aaliyah Boston could play in college and Aaliyah Boston can still play basketball. And if you have Aaliyah Boston and you have Caitlin Clark, offensively, you should be a little better than you. They have been.
Yeah. All right. What's winning?
It's got to be Ryan Pressly.
Yeah, I got to go with Ryan Pressly on this one. Congratulations, though, Ryan Pressly. You're winning at something. All right, does it for us. Thanks to A-Rod filling in for Brian. He'll be filling in this entire week because Brian's lazy bones. He's blank on Branham. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, coming up next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.